first of tonight's speakers, which is a regular of this meeting, Zoe.
Thanks, Gary. My name is Zoe and I'm an addict.
Hello, Zoe.
Oh my God, fucking hell.
Gary just said to me a minute ago, please try not to swear, and then laughed, you know? Because, yeah, it's not going to happen. Sorry. Okay, I was asked to do this chair, I was asked to do this chair like 3 months ago, and I was like, normally I say no to things like that. I'm like, really? Like, I'm going to sit with that for that long a time? No, I like to do one, you know, when I walk in the room and there's no one there and they ask you to do it. I love that kind of chair. But I said yes because Bev is, I'm local to here and Bev is local to here, and I was just like, I can't really say no to her. Anyway, so I haven't been stressing about it until 2 o'clock today when I started doing it over and over and over in my head. And then I started to go into hysterics about 6 o'clock. And some weird stuff was coming out of my mouth. It was really funny, actually. Anyway, if you're new, welcome. What I want to say that is recovery is possible in NA, yeah? And... It's really hard work, actually, but it is possible. And I came here 3.5 years ago, and my life has changed so much. I really don't want to talk about my early life anymore. It used to fill me with huge shame when I used to do it in the beginning. And now, I kind of just don't want to go there, but I am going to for the purposes of identification, because I needed that when I came here, to say that you've been, we've all got different stories, but if one person here tonight has a slightly similar story to mine, I hope that this helps them. And I used to think I was the only one that had this story, and I know that's not true now, actually. I was abandoned really early. I come from a family, and I can trace like back 2 generations of the addiction in my family. It's all through my family. And I would say I'm diagnosed mental illness. Let's be quite honest, because they're fucking mental, most of them. And my mum and dad got married really young. My mum was 16, my dad was 20, and they had me, and they were both... They're both mental, both still out there. Quite narcissistic, actually, both my parents. And I was, literally, my dad fucked off by the time I was one. And, God, that's swearing, sorry. my mum was going out and leaving us on our own. And me... And my brother, I was about one, my brother was just born, it was 15 months between me and my brother. And we were babies, and she was going out using, and police got called, and we went into care. So and we went home once, she got a bit of help, we went home, and she kept doing it again, and neighbours called the police, repeatedly actually. And she just put her hands up one day and said, I can't do this, you know, take them away, I can't do it. And we went into a children's home, and by the time we went in a few foster homes, and there was like, none of them were really like safe. Stuff happened in those, but I was really young, and I don't really remember a lot of it. I've read about it as an adult, actually. And I remember actually at 5 years old being in this children's home. It was a Catholic children's home run by nuns in West London, and having a breakdown and feeling absolutely hopeless and powerless. I now know, I never knew that fucking word until I came in here, but absolutely hopeless and being 5 years old but 50, the weight of what I felt was just immense at that age. And I was in this Catholic children's home, and I fell out with God. I know that. I was like, this can't be right. Anyway, not long after that, we got fostered and then adopted. And the people that fostered and adopted us. We're not nice people, actually. I went in there, and it was it is like the only thing that I can compare it to is being kidnapped, and it was 7 years of hell, like literally hell and fear, constant fear. And when I was 13, I spoke up and I reported to the police what was happening. I took them to court and they got prosecuted. And that's all by the by. I don't know if any of that stuff makes a difference to whether I'm an addict. It is just my fucking story, you know? I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. So I have that as well as being an addict. And some of the stuff that goes with that is very similar in, you know, it just is what it is. All I can tell you is the truth, you know? And once I left there, I went back to a children's home and I was so relieved. I was like, I liked being in that children's home. And I had post-traumatic stress disorder and I'm an addict and I don't know that. And I started drinking, and my first drink I drank to blackout, and I always drank to blackout. My first drink, I'm in blackout. And my drug of, I don't really have a drug of choice, really, until the last 10 years. And I would just, you know, it was easy. I was 16 in 1991, so there was good fucking ease, man. It was all right. And speed, I fucking love speed. I really did, because I always had a problem with food as well. So I was always chubby, and speed made me thin. And it was all right until I got psychosis. Great. And I went in and out of alcohol all the time, you know, but I hurt myself so many times on alcohol. Even to today, the thing that worries me more than anything, any drug, is alcohol for me, because I will kill myself or kill someone else on alcohol, because everyone is a cunt when I drink, you know, including me. And, alcohol's really dangerous for me. And I kind of, you know, I left care at 18. I was given £100 living care grant and a insecure tendency, which I really messed up. I'm trying to stop swearing now, it's a bit late, isn't it? You know, in their days it's a 50p meter, and I've done that within 3 weeks, you know what I mean? There was fucking pills in there, and the doorbell being hid and stuff like that for people. And I came back to London, because they moved me all over the fucking gaff, and I ended up in Devon. And I came back to London not long after that. And I never had a secure... I was NFA from 18 till I was 30, if anybody knows what NFA means, right? And I had nowhere. I didn't fucking want anywhere either. I was a client in this place when it was, before it got redone, they got millions of the lottery to redo this place. And this was kind of where I came to have a shower. There was some contact that I had with people was here. And I slept in here for a couple of winters. I didn't want anywhere to live, actually. And my oldest friend, who's here tonight, who I love very much, I met him here. We went out with each other. We used to live for 7 years. We're best friends. And this place was weird when I first came for a meeting here. And when I was 30, convinced me that I could take another winter outside. I was homeless, so I didn't give a fuck. He convinced me to go inside, actually, and so I went in with him in a gaff, and then we fucked up Tennessee up pretty quick, and now I realised I'd probably get a place of my own. And I did, off the council. So I was indoors, using, and I went through, you know, mine wasn't fucking parties and all that, like, it was begging, shoplifting and in the end prostitution for the last 14 months. And so I was indoors, we broke up, we stayed friends, and then I've never really had a boyfriend since, actually. And I spent 5 years in that flat, fucked, actually. I had no idea how to live, And I dragged fucking mattresses out the rubbish and stuff like that. It was like a squat, absolutely. And what happened was that it just went down and down. And I had no solution. You know, I was like the sanest out of the people I knew. really. You know, and what happened was that I had to reach a rock bottom, which I did. And slowly the wheels came off. And if I hadn't reached that rock bottom, my rock bottom was prostitution, yeah? Which I did for 14 months, day in, day out. And I lost my mind. Really, I did. I ended up... I wrote loads... I told you my friend's here tonight. Everybody that knew me was worried that I was going to kill myself. And I wrote... I'm getting emotional, you know? I wrote suicide notes to everybody that I knew, which wasn't fucking many people, because I hated everyone. And what happened, I don't know what happened, actually. My friend was a heroin addict. So I knew about NA, but I didn't think I was an addict, because I didn't take that type of drug, you know? And I went, after 3 months of not talking to anyone, after I walked out this walk up that I worked in, I went to go to the doctors, and because I'm local, I went upstairs to see Dr. Brassey, and then I don't know what happened. I've been to one meeting, actually, and there was a girl in there with blue hair crying her eyes out. I opened the door, shut the door, and thought, fuck that, you know, I did. And I went in the meeting, and I've never come out, and that was 18th of March 2011. Listen, I've relapsed twice. It's really hard to stop me talking because my story is so long. All I can say, right, is I'm not doing my steps for the fourth time. It took me 3 times to let go of my resentments from my childhood. I consistently do that shit with resistance, don't get me wrong, with fucking resistance, you know. I have had obsessions about people, fucking blankets in my recovery. I couldn't stop buying blankets. I've had a 2-week fucking obsession with chocolate, yeah? Keep coming, right? It is possible to get rid of some of the baggage, I think that's what it was for me, and then the acceptance, I couldn't accept anything before I came here. I owe my life to this. I have been to other 12-step fellowships which have helped me look under a magnifying glass and stuff, but I owe my life to NA, and I will keep coming back here. There are people that I like, and I never liked anyone. Really, I didn't. It's so dark. I didn't like anyone, least of all me, you know? I owe my life to this. I really do. I really do. I'll leave it there. Thanks.